And now, pleasure to kick off this Sports Drive at 5 with a very familiar voice. It's been a long time since I've chatted to this gentleman, but Peter Labardius joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Lou, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, fellas. How are you guys?
We're good, man. We're really good. Of course, like the rest of the hockey world, are now eagerly awaiting what happens tomorrow night. And I guess just maybe a broad one to start it off, my friend. Anything, I guess, the biggest surprise for you over the last 4 days across the NHL?
In regards to who's available?
Yeah, or a trade or a signing, anything that's really kind of stopped you.
I mean, there's been lots there, for sure. You know, one thing that comes to mind, and, you know, there's just no way around it when, you know, you're a really good team. I was a little surprised to see the Islanders make Josh Bailey available. That would be one that would have been right near the top of my list. But no, I, you know, whether it's the Ryan Ellis deal, that took me by surprise a little bit. Yeah, there's, you know, pal, I'd like to say to you, there's one that kind of stands out above the rest for me, but no, there, you know, whether it's the possibility of Carey Price moving to Seattle, you know, there's lots to chew on for sure.
Let's go to Carey Price, Lou, because I think the biggest question now is do the Seattle Kraken take the bait? Do they call their bluff and select him? I mean, he's 34 years old. He's had a lot of injuries. Got a doctor's appointment on Thursday that may or may not require knee surgery. He'll get that checked out. Obviously, Francis and company a little bit frustrated they couldn't get their hands on his medicals. But I'm curious, you know that goaltender well. You've watched him a ton, and we also know the success Vegas had on the back of Marc-Andre Fleury. It's a very attractive piece that's kind of dangling there for Seattle.
Well, it is, but it comes with a massive price tag. And, you know, there's so many fascinating things about how Ron Francis and his fine staff in Seattle is going to go about their business in terms of, you know, the balance of veterans and how they put this team together. You guys know that, you know, former Calgary Hitman netminder Chris Drieger, who really emerged this year in Florida, sounds like, you know, he could be a goalie of the future or maybe goalie of today, depending on how they go. So, you know, I'm not trying to dodge the question. You know, I would put it to you this way, Will. I think we all have to be a little careful if you think that, you know, Seattle's going to do what Vegas did. But here's what I would say. I could probably make an argument that Seattle's roster, if you compared and go all the way back, might be better or has a chance to be better with who's out there. But do I think they're going to go all the way to the Stanley Cup final in year one? I just don't think that's happening again. So, you know, there's a lot of money. And the fact of the matter is, I'd feel differently about the Carey Price situation, as I'm sure everybody would. Like, if that thing is for, like, 3 years that's left,
slam dunk.
It's done.
Yeah, slam dunk.
And I guess the other part of it is, I'm never as worried about, you know, a lot of people get upset, and I get it. It matters. It's a salary cap world. It took on another twist during the pandemic with the flat cap, which, you know, still might be very much in place even next year if we're having this conversation. However, if you're Seattle and you think you could be incredibly competitive in the next 3 years, maybe it's something that you're willing to do.
Yeah, it's a big gamble because I think in a lot of ways, too, you get three out of those 5 years and you're winning anyway. So,
agreed.
Yeah, it's a huge debate. We'll find out tomorrow what happens. I think that's one that many are waiting with great anticipation as to what happens, because, of course, we also know Carey Price's ties to the state of Washington, and there's a lot there. So we'll see what happens.
Pretty nice place.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. Let's go to Calgary, because I think that's what everyone would love your opinion on, Lou. And I think we all knew it was going this way. What we didn't know is whether or not Brad Treliving would pay a price to keep him. And it appears at this point he hasn't. Now, as Logan and I have discussed, we'll find out tomorrow. I would guess that Seattle's got a handful of deals that they've already agreed to that just haven't been announced yet. And you know, maybe one of those is Calgary, but certainly they did not want to trade the first and third round picks for Mark Giordano to remain a Calgary Flame. And who knows if that price has dropped or if Calgary's decision has changed. But what's your gut tell you about Mark Giordano, my friend?
Well, I thought really leading up, and I still think that this has probably been the case. You know, this, we all know this. It's incredibly difficult, the situation that the hockey team finds itself in. You know, we, no matter what happens tomorrow, you know, it'll never change how I feel about Mark, what he's done for the organization, the incredible, you know, storybook that he has written for himself, and one of the great individual ascensions I've ever watched with my own two eyes, you know, but it's a business. And, you know, this team is kind of at a crossroads. And when you're at a crossroads, you have to make decisions sometimes that you don't want to make. So, you know, ideally, do I think they've probably looked at making some kind of deal to keep him? Yeah, I do. But what's the price? And if, and all I've heard everywhere, you know, from all the insiders that I have great trust for, like Elliot and the guys across the street, first and a third, that's a pile. You know, that's, you know, if that, if those are the kind of asking prices, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I just don't, you know, you can't do it, and you can't do it at this point in time. So, yeah, I always thought that there was potential that, you know, it might not happen. But on the other side, as hard as it's going to be, if indeed tomorrow, you know, the longtime captain of this team becomes a member of the Seattle Kraken, well, I also think at a certain point in time, it might be beneficial to both sides.
Agreed.
You know, and again, I don't want anybody to listen to this right now and think that I'm interested in this guy going away. I'm not. In no way, shape, or form. Won't. And will be delighted the day that, you know, his number, or, you know, he's been an incredible player for this team for a long time. But, you know, Father Time always wins. And not to say that he's still not a really, really good player. He's a really, really good player. I mean, go down the stretch this year, he was carrying more time than anybody else in the group at 24 and 25 minutes a night. But I've often thought sometimes, you know, whether it's for Calgary or forget about Calgary, what about him? Like, well, I guess, you know, I can't speak for him. I'm not trying to. I don't want to see him go. But at a certain point in time, you've got to kind of pave the way for other people, too.
Yep.
To grow and move into different roles and have different types of responsibilities. And you know, even for him, you know, do we not know at a certain point that maybe he wants a new challenge with, you know, 3 years left in his career, whatever it's going to turn out to be, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not going to be fun, and it's not going to be fun for anybody who's had the privilege and honor of dealing with him and watching how he's gone about his craft. It's going to be very odd, but, you know, that's how the world works. And sometimes you have to make the hardest decisions to grow and go in a different direction. I mean, they wouldn't do it if they didn't have to.
Yep. Yeah, and I've said it for a long time, and I'm not trying to single the player out, but I think at the same time, we're all in the same, you know, thought that this is a team that desperately needs a shakeup, and this could be the beginning. I certainly think this team is going to be one of the busier ones this offseason. And this is probably a nice, you know, springboard to some of that change. And it always takes two to make a trade. I fully understand that. And, you know, sometimes those aren't available to you. So if you're trying to make changes to your team and this is the way that it happens, then so be it. It's unfortunate that if it goes, you know, the way it's going to go and this is how it ends, it really is too bad. 51 games away from 1,000, could have done it all in a Calgary Flame uniform. And as you talked about, the story is incredible. But at the end of the day, that's the way it's come down, and you couldn't pay that price. So, you know, at the same rate, the cap space is incredibly valuable too, Lou.
Well, sure it is. Sure it is. And, you know, if indeed that is what happens, now, you know, we're also speculating that we know what Seattle's going to do, that they're going to take that or take that player. We don't know that for sure either. I mean, it's been speculated. You could understand why they would, but guess who else cap space is important to?
Ron Francis.
Seattle.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're right. I mean, you know, for the storybook and what he's done and what he's meant, and that's never going away. Whether he's still the captain, you know, after tomorrow, or is a Seattle, it's not going to change, and he should be celebrated. And, you know, we've been lucky to watch him go about his business. And I'm not convinced that we're still not going to. So nothing would surprise me tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll find out together. 6 o'clock tomorrow, live right here on Sportsnet 960, of course, on Sportsnet as well on television. It'll be the NHL Network, but you can watch it on Sportsnet in Canada. Looking forward to it. They've got a lot of fun things planned, I know, and that's certainly going to be the start, I think, of a pretty crazy week here, Lou, across the NHL. And I know that you've put together the mock draft with your pal Sammy Cosentino. We'll hear that tomorrow.
We're going to do it tomorrow too. We're doing it later this year. So
wow.
It's not even, just the way schedules and everything have worked out. I think that little golf venture this week may have, you know, changed things a little, and I don't mind it at all. In fact, if I had my druthers, we wouldn't do it until after the expansion draft.
There you go.
Because again, that changes a lot, you know, in terms of what you're thinking. But no, we will gather for that tomorrow, in fact. And I love doing it, and doing it with my pal, you know, and Boom makes it even more fun. And we'll see how it goes. So yeah, really, really looking. I'm looking forward to the expansion draft for sure. But you know me, the other draft for me is always something really special. And this year's group, even though I don't think this is as good a draft year as some in recent memory, it's you know, talking about Seattle, you know, we think we know where Buffalo is going at one. Where's Seattle going with two?
Yeah.
And then what kind of chain of events does that set off? So looking forward to it.
Can't wait for that. That's coming up. By the way, we'll hear it tomorrow night. And of course, the draft goes on Friday. There'll be runs. I think it runs 4 or 5 times. You can check our website for show times and details on that. And it's always a fun time with Lou Boom and Sammy Cosentino. Before we let you go, my friend, I guess just outside of that, the other interesting piece, and I'm sure you've watched the player a ton, and there's people in this province up the road of us that are a little bit worried that Tyler Benson could become a member of the Seattle Kraken.
Well, I mean, they're probably going to be a little bit worried about that. But again, you know, you can't keep everybody. It probably, you know, touches people in Oilerland a little bit more because, you know, he's a born and bred product of their city and coming through the Southside Athletic Club program. Remember him vividly helping that team to a Western Canadian title and an Alberta title in his last year in the under 15 category. So, you know, but I would say this, and I'm not trying to be critical, you know, we're not talking about someone who has yet really even found their way into the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't keep everybody that you want to. You know, when you think about it, think about this conversation. We're talking about the Flames might lose, you know,
a guy
one of their
51 games away from 1,000. Yeah.
Right. And they're talking about potentially losing Tyler Benson. And I like the player. I just, you know, documented. I've been following him for a long time. But Oiler fans should listen and get a quick reminder that there's a few other places in much different and much more difficult shape.
Yeah. No, 100%. The one guy's got 7 games, the other guy's got 949.
So. Yes, and probably is going to have his number raised to the rafters at some point in time. So,
I guess before we go, because you are doing the mock, I don't want you to give any secrets away, Lou, but a lot of people...
Well, I can't give any secrets
I guess
away, because you know why? Because
it happens in real time.
I don't get to do it all, right?
That's right.
I don't get to do it all, so...
Oh. You guys alternate picks, right?
Well, I mean, we've done it a few different ways in the past. That's kind of what we've settled into, and I think that's how we're going to go. So, I obviously Sammy's one of my best friends, so we talk quite a bit. But I will say this, you know, he's got a job to do, and I wouldn't tell you that he's secretive about his stuff, but I don't know exactly what he's thinking about and where he's going. And you know, he's bunkered down right now getting ready for draft coverage in New York. And I just love it because I do it with him, pal. And the neat part is, you know, it's become a massive part of his job. For me, I just love the player evaluation and the scouting. And so I think it's neat. He, you know, I talk to people getting ready, as I always do. But, I mean, he's inundated in it. So it's kind of, he's inundated in talking to people, and I sometimes just, you know, look at it how I'd do it myself if I was in the general manager or the chair of the team when that pick comes up. So I think it's a good mix. And every once in a while we laugh and have some fun and tell some stories and be ridiculous.
That never happens.
No, it happens. And it's going to happen tomorrow, and it's going to have some silliness. I guarantee it.
I guess just before we go, there's a lot of intriguing names around when the Flames will select officially at 13th overall, but of course it will be the 12th selection because Arizona will not pick at number 11. A lot of Flame fans keep, I would imagine if you look at the Google hot map, I think the name Cole Sillinger has been Googled a ton in Calgary.
I bet. I'm a little biased. I've known his father and his family forever. In fact, well, the first assignment I ever had as the new voice of the Regina Pats in 1989 was covering my first ever NHL draft in Bloomington, Minnesota, where Mike was selected 11th by the Detroit Red Wings.
Wow.
And now, many moons later, I'm biasly and would not be the least bit disappointed if Paul Sillinger goes actually one pick after where Pops went. And the one thing I would say, and this isn't just for me, this is people, you know, that again, I talk to in preparation. Cole Sillinger is a hockey player. He comes from a great place. You know, his dad is just one of the finest people I've ever known in the game. Long, lengthy career, played on a lot of different teams Well, sometimes that happens to guys because you're not wanted. Mike Sillinger got traded a lot at the deadline because he was wanted. And Cole can score. He shoots the daylights out of it, plays with some you-know-what and vinegar. I love the kid. So if it happens that way, and there's lots of good guys that the Flames will have an opportunity to take, but, you know, Recently, we did a 1 through 12 mock draft on Flames TV with Ryan Dietrich and Mr. Parker and Tori. And I had that pick, and guess who I picked?
Cole Sillinger.
I picked Cole Sillinger. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm going to throw another name at you today before we go.
Love it.
Isaac Rosen.
Mm-hmm. All right. There's a Google assignment for all you listeners. Isaac Rosen
had a great world under 18, and I think I don't know how high he's going to go, but I think he probably falls farther than he should, and somebody's going to get a real good player.
By the way, Pops Mike Sillinger just traded 9 times. That's it.
Yeah,
not bad. And put up a few goals in Regina, hey?
Oh, you think? He put up some pretty good numbers.
If you like 50 goal seasons.
I called just about every single one of them. So.
Jeez.
Yeah, I remember just an awesome person. And like I said, great family and good Western Canadian. And I can only quote, you know, when I heard this actually from somebody else in preparation, Cole Sillinger is a hockey player. And you know, when I say that, that's good. That's a good thing.
No, it sure is. So, Logs, you got anything for Lou?
I just wanted to say hi to Lou and see how he's been. It's been a while.
Hi, Logs.
How are you doing, pal?
Yeah, well, we've got some stuff going on here in Mississauga. My father-in-law is not very well, so we've had a few tough times around here. But you know, family's really close, and you know, it brings everybody together, and so we're just, you know, we're monitoring that and hoping for the best there, and just glad I'm here where I am right now, because it's, you know, the place I should be. So
absolutely,
well, yeah, not to end it with a real downer in any way, but you know,
that's the important stuff in the conversation, Lou, is being there with
family
and all that sort of stuff.
Is.
Right, but I gotta ask before, are you getting excited for the Olympics yet or what?
Well,
yes and no.
No, I'm completely in. Softball starts in less than an hour when Australia plays Japan. It might be up on my computer, and if it's not, somebody call Ripley's. What I don't know, Logs, so I'm going to figure out. Somebody call Ripley's. Canada plays Mexico in, trust me, a massive game in that six-team tournament. At midnight your time, 2 a.m. my time. I got the mock to do tomorrow morning. We got a soccer game I want to watch at 6 a.m. Yeah, I'm a mess. But I'm looking forward to it.
The no sleep, sleep Lou returns.
No rest for the wicked.
I've come to this deduction over the next couple weeks. Probably going to have to sleep between about 1 in the afternoon and 7 at night.
Yeah, when the live events aren't happening, we'll be sleeping.
100%. And that shocks you? Not one bit.
Nope. That's right. Call Ripley's if he's not watching.
Yeah, again. Okay, guys. Thanks,
Lou, you're the best, pal. Take care of yourself,
Lou.
Okay?
Okay, be well.
There he is, Peter Labardius.